Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on a chilly Sunday morning. But everything going okay. If you can hear us, everything is working so far on this Sunday morning, 12th day of January. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to all y'all, first responders, firemen, cops, ER staff, drivers, up in Alpharetta.
Okay.
I heard they had some power problems up in Alpharetta, but we're just happy you're listening this morning. We're going to reach out. We give a shout-out to a number of communities throughout our show, but you're the first ones. Doing it maybe in alphabetical order.
But they've done yeoman's work, and they're continuing to do the work.
Yes, they are. Man, how are you doing, Mr. Crenshaw, before we do a deep dive into this?
Hey, doing all right. You know, everything is going fine. Power stays on, and, you know, just moving right along. Hey, the roads were improved some yesterday. I think it's because people listened and stayed off the roads on Friday. But we want to salute everyone that got out there and prepared the freeways, worked on them ahead of time. I know that some of that stuff got on your car, and you don't like getting that stuff on your car.
You know what? I had to warn some people.
Yeah.
And listen, I hope it worked out for you. But see, I was like the one in the forest yelling, y'all need to listen to me because I've been through this. When it gets down below freezing and there's slush out, even when it's down like 30s. Remember when I took that trip to Chicago and I didn't realize that the window...
The solvent. Antifreeze, yeah. But
not the antifreeze, but the window solvent that we get down here in the south is different than the ones you get up north where it's really... It's made for below freezing temperatures to get on your window and not freeze. Well, I was using mine. We drove up there, and it was just making it worse. It would freeze on the window, the windshield wiper fluid. So I had to change the fluid, drain that out, and put in stuff from, you know, north of the Mason-Dixon line so it would stay on the window. So I hope a lot of people didn't deal with that, but some folks found out the hard way, like I did.
Yeah.
But listen, I do believe a lot of that, the interstate traffic that you talked about, that you experienced, yes, the preparation beforehand was wonderful. And they obviously, listen, it was chronicled. We've been watching for like days before that. The news channels were following all the crews out there. But that traffic from down in Florida coming back up, or people going the other direction. You know, this city is just, they complain about the way the highways are built, but they're just trying to get through it. And I just think a lot of that traffic, you know, going through this city, going through North Georgia, added to the, the roads drying off the way they did yesterday. But during the day was one thing, man. At night, it refroze.
And that's the thing that people are really watching for today, that people got out and left some slush out there on the roads. And overnight, the temperatures dropped, and they're thinking maybe some concerns for black ice, areas that were shaded as we didn't. Mm-hmm. The sun only came out late yesterday, so there wasn't a lot of sun to come out there and kind of really dry some things up. So and maybe it got things loosened up just enough that it got in certain spots and maybe refroze. So you want to be careful as you make your way out this morning.
Absolutely. Now, did you made your way out for a little bit yesterday?
I made it over to Georgia State at basketball. They were able to play their games yesterday. Kennesaw State was able to play their game yesterday. The Hawks, meanwhile, postponed their game with Houston.
Yeah.
Different reactions, especially if the teams made it to town. And I think that's why both Kennesaw State and Georgia State did play their games yesterday, because the opponents did make it here. And so they said, you get here, yeah, we're going to get three referees, and we're going to play.
All right.
And that's what they did.
I ventured out for a little bit. But after I had killed some of the fun for, there's a couple kids in the neighborhood. Like there's a family, two houses down. They got like single digit age kids, and this was their first snow. Now you've been over here today.
Oh yeah.
Before.
Oh yeah.
I got one of them driveways that's great for Halloween because it doesn't bring up a lot of traffic. Don't want to walk up it, but it when it snows, and this has happened like three times when. You know, since I've been living here, we had the big snow, and it's perfect for sledding. So the kids across the street used to come and do it. They're older now. And I saw those kids out there down the street, and I said, hey, you know, listen, this used to be the spot. This is, you know, for a little kid, this is a big hill. And the father was like, okay, let me think about it. And as he walked, like you said, the streets were still kind of icy a little bit. And he didn't have a problem with the kids getting on the driveway and sliding down. It was him stopping them once they got to the street, because it was real slick. But I got out there, man, and I had to shovel a driveway yesterday. I kept my Chicago card.
Did you?
I had pictures taken of me doing it. Now, I was out there, man, because I had to clear that thing up because I knew I wanted to get out, and the sun was going to come out for a little bit yesterday. So we made a trip over to Walmart, and place was packed. All the bread was gone, but I wanted to see what was what. And I wanted to pick up just a couple things, but made it that far and then just got back home just in time to watch football for the rest of the evening.
Well, I'll tell you who we want to remember. We want to remember the people at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta Airport, because there's some people who've had to sleep on the floor out there.
Have you ever had to do that before?
I was at an airport and I wouldn't start to sleep on the floor. I just found a chair in a waiting area and just kind of, you know, positioned yourself and made yourself comfortable knowing that you weren't going to move for a while. But, not for this reason.
Yeah, you know, not for this reason, but I've done it too. I've had to sleep. We literally did sleep on the floor.
Yep. And so we shout out to everyone out there, all the people who try to keep that place moving. You know, your TSA, all your law enforcement, and people who are, you know, try to make, you know, it's the world's busiest airport. But when weather comes like we had, it slows down the world's busiest airport. And you think about the people who have connecting flights.
Yep,
you
know, to people, warm places.
Right.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, right.
You're on your way to Mexico or down the Caribbean or even to Hawaii, and it didn't work.
No. So, I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, think about the folks out there who've really been dealing with something, and the people who've been working to try to, you know, get the schedules caught up to get the people to where they're supposed to be. It's been very difficult.
It's, again, 404-726-0929. I'm going to throw that number out there again. Remind you, if you want to reach out, Noelle will be happy to take your call. Well, I don't know if she'll be happy to, but be nice to her when you call. We just want to hear some stories in the last few days. If you have some folks that may have helped you out, what you did, maybe you helped some folks out. Just want to hear these stories. If you're able to, if you drive in some place, let us know. Give us an update on some of the roads that are out there.
If you're functioning today, especially some churches are going to have in-person services. Some are going to go online today. If you want to share that with us, we'll pass that along too.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, 404-726-0929. Was one other thing I was going to mention when you were talking about going there, but anyway, I'll come back to it. Listen, man, said a prayer again, and for the Smart family yesterday, but they had the celebration of life for Sonny Smart,
yeah,
Kirby's
yeah.
father,
yes.
And there's a whole lot of folks happy to see 2024 gone.
Yeah,
they just are, and I'm the guy twirling the baton right there in front. I realize this might happen. I don't have the exact date. Was that post though? That was New Year's. That happened.
And it happened when he was there. Well, right before New Year's. Before
yeah. Okay. So
you imagine Coach Smart knowing that his father's in the hospital and still got to go out and coach that game, right?
That's
a lot demanded of him.
I didn't know his first name, Clyde J. Sonny Smart, Jr. Anyway, prayers go out to their family here. Speaking of college football, we will do a deep dive into the national championship game, which is coming up on the 20th. Who would have put your money on Notre Dame there in the beginning?
Man, no way. Well, think about it. They're two great stories of teams that had to make comebacks. And the path to get here, remember, if it was just four teams, Ohio State wouldn't have made it.
Yep.
You know, they would not be there. And think about how the folks in Ohio were feeling about their coach at the end of the regular season. And then think about Notre Dame. You know, after beating Texas A&M to start the season, that was impressive. But then losing to the directional school.
And Northern really, Illinois.
And playing with a chip on their shoulder, though, Greg. They put that chip on their shoulder, and they kept it there. And it's still there.
Yeah.
And that is what has allowed them to make it to this point. So,
and also history.
Yep.
With them being there.
Very much. And history with them, and also history with the coach.
That's what
there,
I meant.
Being there as well, as groundbreaking. So the great backstories that are coming to town, I know some people may have their mouth stuck out because they don't have an SEC school in it this time, but it's coming to Atlanta. Two great brands are coming to Atlanta. Their fans are coming, and the eyes of the college football world and just sports world are going to be focused on us a week from Monday.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, your first insignificant tidbit of the morning. Today was the day that that football, see, they didn't even call it NFL then. They just said football. Legalized the forward pass.
Wow.
Today was the day.
Okay.
You know, it was before that, it was, what, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, which, by the way, some Big Ten teams still play like that.
Still do.
Yeah, so you have that. So anyway, we're going to talk about that. And also, let me give that number out again, 404-726-0929. I say that because I'm sure there's some folks out there got something to say about the moves they heard this past week with the Falcons.
Maybe so.
Yeah, a defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, gone.
Folks figured somebody was going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, and how you feel about that?
That's what happened. I think that's the move I figured that would be made. The problem, the thing is now, who do you bring in that position? Because they're on with the things as far as the roster goes. They also mentioned about the quarterback situation as well. We're going to get into that in the next segment when we talk NFL. But, you know, they spoke this week, and you hate that it was in past tense, that the season was done. But all they can do about it is try to reflect on those things, some decisions that they waited, some people think, a long time to make. But here we are. You know, the playoffs are going on, and once again, for the seventh straight year, we're on the outside looking in.
Yeah. All right, let's run down what we got here for you this morning. Karen Pestana is going to join us at 7:20. The Australian Open is going on. And she, of course, we talked to Karen at least four times a year, sometimes five. Last year it was five. We had the Olympics going on, so we're going to talk to Karen. Tamika Jones, Sam, will be joining us from Kennesaw State. We got Caleb. Our old Caleb Johnson will be talking Hawks. They got postponed yesterday, but get his thoughts on the Hawks team right now. Ryan Allen Hall from he's the director of events for college football and scholarships, I should say. He's going to be joining us coming up at 9 o'clock straight up. And our own Miles Garrett. Going to talk, Miles, about the Falcons, talk some NFL, but also his time. He was on the ground there in New Orleans when all the events happened there. So Miles is going to join us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Sam and I are just getting started on this Sunday morning. We thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning. It is Sam and Greg. Noel, also. It's a Noel's World. She is back, and that'll come up in the 7:40 segment. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That's a nice Sunday morning kind of just a nice piece of music for this time of morning, 6:21 on this Sunday morning. Sam and Greg, thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning. Again, I'm going to keep giving this number out, Sam, 404-726-0929. For anybody got anything to say, I mean, there's so much to people have comments about this last week, since we've been on last, whether it's the weather, whether it's the games, college or pro, or NBA even, what's going on with them. We're going to cover most of this throughout the morning, but I just feel like it's one of them blanket kind of mornings.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a good way to describe it? It's like everybody's just kind of bundled up.
Yep.
Getting that cup of coffee. I didn't know hurry to go nowhere other than if you're heading out to church or someplace like that. But just chilling around Atlanta.
And as we do, whatever we do today, man, reflect on the folks out west. You know, we saw the Chargers play yesterday, and the Rams are going to play tomorrow night. But just folks out on the West Coast, out in the Los Angeles area, they're just dealing with something unimaginable, just practically unimaginable, Greg.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if you got relatives or family members that live out in that area. I've been checking on people that I know that live out that way, and thankfully no one that I know is in harm's way. But, you know, they say if they go outside, you can smell it, you know, anywhere around the area with that type of thing. But just the idea of having to rebuild and restore is simply incredible what the people are dealing with out there.
And you know, we there's a phrase that we have on this show that we throw it out, and unfortunately way too often, and that is, from time to time, Mother Nature reminds you of who's running things. Now, I realize that this started one way, but it was those Santa Ana winds that took it to the next level. And the folks that couldn't even get up, the firefighters that couldn't get up and normally drop water on, the winds were too high.
Yeah.
So every year we hear about California fires. It just seems to be the price of doing business out there, unfortunately. But this one, because of the winds and the way it was affecting these fires and throwing embers, one house after another, you're right. You reach out and you talk to some people. My brother was out there. Unfortunately, he's resting in peace, and nephew and his mother out there. They have relocated, I understand. But how long is it going to take to get this, you know?
Oh,
like
yeah.
You said, unimaginable.
Unimaginable. But, it looks like something apocalyptic. I mean, when you look at it, that's what comes to mind when you see what is left, the remains of the structures, homes, schools. You have children wondering where they're going to go to school.
Absolutely.
It's all gone. And so,
The thing about it is, we are just off the heels of dealing with people that we knew that were dealing with that down in Florida after hurricanes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? This whole
south of us,
and
north of us as well, up in North Carolina, and the
right.
People down the road at Augusta, we're dealing with some destruction.
Hurricane relief is still accepting your check.
Very much, very much. But let's keep those folks as what a way to start the new year, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's keep those folks in mind.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We need something light here. You ever heard of a guy named George Kresge? Kresge. I don't know how you would say that. Kresge. This is specifically for you or those folks of a certain age. You ever heard of him?
No.
Well, actually, you have, because today would have been the birthday of this gentleman, who is also known as the Amazing Kreskin. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. This guy was a mentalist. And there's a dude right now who does it. If you've been watching Game Day, College Game Day throughout this season, they got this guy who comes on and he visits various campuses. I know he did one with Michigan. He did one with Alabama. He goes and he performs in front of the players, and he does these crazy tricks. This is not Penn and Teller. This is, you know, he's known as a mentalist. Well, the first guy who did that back in the day and used to show up on talk shows was a guy named the Amazing Kreskin. And today would have been his birthday, so I wanted to just kind of lighten it up after what we were talking about. All right, man, did you get your clam chowder yesterday and sit down and watch some of these games?
I sure did. It was outstanding. The football was okay, too.
Yeah, okay. Because I was worried about that. I talked to Sam, but he was on his way to Georgia State, and we were getting the show together. And I said, man, just get done with what you got to do. Get your clam chowder and get home. I was wondering what I was going to see from this Chargers team. Jim Harbaugh, as you said in the pre-show, he's made him relevant. But then again, you sort of figured he was going to do that, right? He was going to make him relevant. Man, and Ladd McConkey, this guy is... I'm trying to think of who he reminds me of. I don't want to put him next to them just yet, but he's that receiver that just makes you crazy. And the two receivers that are really killing it this year in the NFL, one's not in the playoffs, unfortunately, but Brock Bowers. Both these guys coming from Georgia, both sitting there with rings, national championship rings.
Yeah, yeah.
But the best tight end in football right now, playing for the Raiders, or consider that. And then this position receiver, Ladd McConkey, you kind of compare him to a couple of those guys that were like gnats that played for New England, the Wes Welkers, the yep, Julian yep, Edelmans, those
yep,
guys.
Yep. Amendola.
Amendola, yeah.
But the thing of it is, he's just what the quarterback needed. You know what I mean? It seems like he plugged in there and he was a perfect fit for Justin Herbert, and he's really what he needed with that team. And it's been a combination that's really taken off. Not enough of it yesterday.
Nope.
But that was the thing, though. It's like Herbert was waiting for this guy, and they find each other incredibly.
I want to see Justin Herbert do less, for me. And that's what Harbaugh's going to do out there. He's going to take the guy, I've been hearing about this amazing arm and this talent that he has, but it's not translated, you know, to playoff victories and deep runs in the playoffs. And maybe having him tweaked a little bit in a crazy running game moving forward will help him. He's given him the tools. He's got a coach there that loves quarterbacks, so he's going to keep and try to keep this dude upright too. But C.J. Stroud yesterday reminded everybody.
Well, it was great to see him, you know, come back and have that kind of game, because a lot of people were saying, did he have a sophomore slump this year after the phenomenal rookie season that he had? But he went out there. But then again, you got to give some credit to the Houston defense. You know, when Herbert serves you up four interceptions in a playoff game, hey, you got to capitalize on it.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So, and Mixon, 106 yards. TD, Stroud, like I said, 282. Threw an interception, got a touchdown there. I don't know that they're going to be playing for the championship in the AFC, but again, C.J. Stroud, as you said, reminded everybody, no sophomore slump, I'm still here, and I'm still one of them dudes.
Absolutely, and that's what we saw in their first round win as Houston got that win over the Chargers yesterday. And as for the nightcap, that kind of go the way you expected it to go?
I had mixed emotions about that. I mean, you want to see Lamar finally get it. You want to see him, you know, show why he's got what will soon to be in the minds of most, his third MVP. But man, what do you say about Mike Tomlin and this team that he has coached? I mean, John Harbaugh, they came into the league one season apart, and they've been battling. And here's the other thing, too. I had forgotten that Harbaugh spent all this time with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You know, that's how he made his bones there. But they have been the longest. They have met longer than any other two coaches in these matches like this, other than the guys who got their names on stadiums. Curly Lambeau and Papa Bear Hallis.
Yeah, they talked about that, right? And the fact of the history that was on that game last night. But, you know, the thing that Lamar Jackson has never had, he's never had a running back like he has right now. And that's the thing. You can play. He's like, pick your poison. Pick your poison. You're trying to shut down Henry, I'm going to burn you. And I think he's never had that during his time consistently, you know, with the Ravens, and you could see it last night. You could just see it against a defense that prides itself on, you know, always being a strong point of this Pittsburgh team, that you don't know what you're going to get with the offense.
And he still ran for 81 yards.
Oh, yeah.
He still ran for 81, and strategically, too, the way he did it.
Very much. You know, so that's the thing about this Ravens team. You saw it on display last night. You saw complete drives that were nothing but running games. It didn't throw a pass. You do what you have to do. You do it when you need to do it. And they were surgical last night in what they were doing.
Obviously. But like I said, mixed emotions, because what becomes of Mike Tomlin? These early exits. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now you got to get him some players to work with.
He's
getting the most out of what he has to work with. I mean, hey, we had a pick sighting last night.
That's
great.
Right.
It's nice to know he got off the bus.
Now you're right.
Some stays off the bus. So we talk about Tomlin. Tomlin does great work to get what he has on the field to where he gets there. Remember, these guys came to town and won a game here without scoring a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know how much blood you can get out of the turnip, but, I mean, I don't think you lay it at his feet.
No, I'm not laying it at his feet, but I'm saying, yes, my angst comes from the fact that he had to start the season dealing with some craziness at the quarterback position. And whatever move he seemed to be making, he was being critiqued with. Is it going to be Justin? He's young. He's going to be the future, blah, blah, blah. Now, Russ, when he gets healthy, he'll get in there and do what he did. And for the most part, early on in the season, he was right. Russell Wilson showed signs of Seattle Russ Wilson. But you saw the stretch of games they were having toward the end, and everybody just feel like, oh, man, there's no way. And yet it ended up being pretty much like it was forecast.
Yeah.
But his regular early exits people don't want to hear about, because other coaches, you know, would not have lasted as long as him. And the guy has never had a losing season and all that stuff. But you put this in the mix and you see what else is going on in the AFC, and rumblings have started. I'm talking about rumblings from old Steelers. Ryan Clark's talking about stuff in his tenure there, and other players have been talking about maybe it's time. You know, it, and you know, they talk about the message being received, and it's not like he can't coach anymore. Nobody believes that. But season after season, these early exits, and you know, you got to start asking. And from a business standpoint, do you continue because of what you see him doing? Like, you bring up the finer points, but the finer points, like I said, sometimes gets lost in the conversation.
You remind people of what the finer points are. What you want this man to go out and fight with? You know what I mean? That's the thing. He's not blocking and tackling anybody.
Nope.
So, I mean, it's not like he's forgotten how to coach the game. So, I mean, you consider what he's being given to fight with. I mean, that's to me, that's the accurate thing to do. So we'll see.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Tell you what, we'll get into the games today in a little bit here, but since we're talking NFL, let's talk about the team down the street, round the corner, up the block, just a little bit more. And again, if you guys want to jump in and give your thoughts on the firings this week of Jimmy Lake and Jay Rogers, 404-726-0929. And, you know, It's just one of them things, man. How much time do we spend on? Do we go the wrong people? How do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10, yeah, this needed to be done, or I don't think it needed to be done? How are they going to feel about this move from the Falcons, Sam? I mean,
yeah, I'm up around 8 or 9 on it, it needed to take place. You had an underachievement. I mean, the defense didn't look good in the final game. They had turned some things around in the back half of the season, but, boy, you know, the sacks came so late in the season. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the fan base was expecting it, and I think everybody's fine with it. Who do you bring in to replace it, and who do you attract right now? You ready to retool your roster, and what's your priority in the draft and free agency? That's where we are with this Falcons team right now.
We are going to switch gears and talk college football up next and get ready for a national championship that's also going to take place down the street, around the block there. The two teams that are playing, all, like you said, redemption stories, and we're going to get into that up next. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this chilly Sunday morning. That song, Sam, hit number one on this day, The Joker by Steve Miller. So Noel favored us with it.
All right.
You a Steve Miller fan?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, abracadabra and all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you again for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. Karen Pastena getting set for the Australian Open. She'll join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Also interested to hear what is running through Noel's mind. We got a Noel's World. I haven't had one of those in a while. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. And then it's going to be like a conga line of guests. Everyone from Tamika Jones from Kennesaw State, Caleb Johnson is going to be joining us, Ryan Allen Hall, Director of Events and Scholarships for College Football, Miles Garrett will be joining us. So, again, full show here. We got us till 10 o'clock. And, again, thank you for letting us be a part of it. Now, we never ask, you know, about betting. You know, each show, you're going to put some money down on this, going to put some money down on that. But if you had a couple extra dollars in your pocket, Sam, which one of these teams playing in the national championship would you lean toward?
Wow.
Okay, let's put it this way. If it's with your head, where would you put your money? Because I got a feeling that your head's going to be different than where your heart is.
Yeah, probably so. Your head, Ohio State, but maybe your heart, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time for Notre Dame to be here, and I got some dear friends who are dyed-in-the-wool Notre Dame fans. They are just overjoyed that Notre Dame is coming back to town, because remember, they were already here once this season. They played Georgia Tech at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a regular season game. So to have Notre Dame back in town will be big. But to have Ohio State back in town as well. Remember, they were here several years ago. They played Georgia, and it was a game that went right down to the stroke of midnight. And it was so much fun. The thing I remember most during that week, and we'll get to see both of the auxiliaries and the bands that take place, where the members of the Ohio State band wore their band hats with that white plume and red plume. They wore them everywhere they went. Mm-hmm. They wanted people to know that they were members of the Ohio State band, and everywhere they went, if they went to eat, they went to the varsity, wherever they went during that week, they wore their band hats so people would know them. It's a big deal for them to come back here. Atlanta, we hope we get everybody cleared at the airport so we can get them in here this week because it's a madhouse out there right now. But hopefully we get everything cleared up so that the teams and the fans can get here this week. You know? Yeah. Okay, and you talk about one of the reasons that we think about this game and the history is Marcus Freeman and the history that he's about to make. We know that either he or Coach Franklin are going to be the first African-American head coaches to coach in the national championship game. And people say, is that a deal? Yes, it's a deal, you know, because of what it means for others who may follow. Uh-huh. That if you get your name, you work hard, you get your opportunity, and this could be you as well. And here's what Coach Freeman had to say about it.
You know, I've said this before, I don't ever want to take attention away from the team. It is an honor, and I hope all coaches, minorities, black, Asian, white, it doesn't matter, great people continue to get opportunities to lead young men like this. But this ain't about me, this is about us, and we're going to celebrate what we've done because it's something special.
That dude is right out of Central Casting.
Isn't that something?
I mean, just right out of Central. Sam, you and I have done live stuff before.
Yeah.
It is so, we are so proud of ourselves when we get just a phrase out or a sentence out, and it we feel kind of proud because sometimes you're nervous, you're not sure what you're going to say, and you get that statement out or whatever, and you feel pretty good about it, you know, because, hey, I didn't offend anybody, and I sounded pretty good doing this. Sometimes live can really can go either way, and for him to present that message the way everybody understood what he was trying to say, and everybody knows at some point he will take a step back and realize what he has achieved, but the poise and the way he carries himself, there's something that a lot of people, this is what I have heard since that game ended, for people who are getting on the bandwagon a little bit late when it comes to Notre Dame, I have heard more than anything else the word likable when it comes to Notre Dame and that program, because it has not been the case during the years when they were even winning. Going back to the Lou Holtz days, they were Notre Dame, and they were to be respected, but they weren't likable.
Yeah.
You're hearing that a lot more, and it has to do with Marcus Freeman and what he's done. And so my thing is, all that other stuff is on the side over here. My reason for wanting him to continue to have success is because of the way he tripped and fell into this job because of what Brian Kelly did.
Yeah.
I see greener pastures down here at LSU, and I want to win me a championship. Talk about irony.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Talk about all the people that knocked the doors off the transfer portal leaving out of that place after this season at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So it's remarkable. And also, once again, we talk about that. You know, in this day and age of the transfer portal, in this day and age of NIL, here is Notre Dame, who tried to basically stand their ground, first of all, as an independent.
Right.
As an independent, but also to try to maintain their standards. We're not for everybody, and we're proud that we're not for everybody, so not just any and everybody can come here and be a student athlete. They've really tried to stand their ground as far as that goes and recruit that type of player and retain that kind of player. That's all. We talk about the players that you bring in through the transfer portal, Greg. I always say it's the guys that you retain. It's the players that you get to stay, because you got to recruit the ones that are already there to get them to remain. That's think of a coach, and he's a young guy. I don't know how long when his hair gonna turn gray, but I'm just saying, you know, he's the youngest coach since Danny Ford, who was at Clemson, to play for national champion, coach in the national championship game. So I mean, in this climate, for him to do what he's done is simply remarkable at the place where he's doing it. And maybe another thing is, Greg, it's been a while. Notre Dame has had to eat a lot of humble pie down through the years here. So for them to be back in this situation is something. Remember, Notre Dame has only been going to bowl games since the late 70s. Notre Dame did not always play bowl games.
No, they did not.
And so this is also big when you think about in that regard.
The other thing is about this. I don't think that they, you know, I don't know how you put it, but I don't know if they really care all that much. I mean, the football program, athletic department, yes. But as a university, as you said, it's not first and foremost on Notre Dame's mind. It's about, you know, you have the standards to get into this university first and foremost. And while football can generate a lot of money and can generate a lot of eyeballs and gives them back the prestige they used to have, it's not the end-all be-all it with that university. So I think this is nice for them, and I think they're relishing in it, and they're going to make sure that Marcus Freeman goes no place. But it's still Notre Dame at the end of the day. It'd be like we could be talking about Stanford. Now, I realize it doesn't have the same history, but there's certain standards to getting into certain schools.
Shout out to Chris Draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was them. And tell you what else, shout out to Bob Whitfield. Absolutely. And these two guys were student athletes, brilliant guys. I mean, we laugh at Bob Whitfield, some of the things he says and does. And Chris Rapp, we know how passionate he is. But, yeah, they like to hold up to their standard, you know, as well as being a West Coast school. Notre Dame, that's what makes what Notre Dame doing, what they're doing, so special. The fact that they've been able to maintain that. And yeah, you're right, Greg. Yeah, you got the academic standards. It's not an easy school to get into. But as the old saying goes, and Tamika Smith-Jones is going to join us at 8 o'clock, and she'll tell you athletics is the front porch of any institution of higher learning. Now, a lot of people who have never set foot in the classroom would never know any name of any professor, anybody walking around in a lab coat or anything, they will know their way to the stadium and to the arena and to the gymnasium for football or basketball or some type of athletic competition. So you do want that to be inviting, and Notre Dame once again has that. But let's talk about Ohio State, shall we?
Because
some people say that's the best roster that money can buy. And we talk about Texas that's got deep pockets, but Ohio State spread the money around before the season began. A lot of people figured they were predestined to be where they are right now, and that roster has shown up. It has really shown up in this playoff to get them where they are. They've been very impressive in their wins.
It took the little brother to smack, or at least what they call it, although it should be the other way around, but to smack them around the way they did and then plant that flag right there in the O and started that whole hubbub thing with between them and Michigan. And everything that Ohio State has done since then is they keep using that game as the jump-off point. It's like you got exposed, you got this and that, all the things that happened to you during that game. And yes, they have turned the corner since then. Do you expect them to shut Notre Dame down?
No. I think Notre Dame would do their thing, and especially if Notre Dame can get on the board first. Remember, their offense is the one that kind of reminds you of old school Big Ten. It's not a thing
That's
of beauty.
What I was going to get to.
It's not a thing of beauty, but it's very effective. You know, and their defense is really their calling card.
That's exactly where I was going, because you know what kept running through my mind as I sit in my mind and I play this game out, and I hope it comes down to this. As you can tell, I want Notre Dame to win this thing. But I keep hearing Dan Campbell, Lions coach. Notre Dame, yeah, Ohio State might have all these paid-for players, and they might have one of the most explosive offenses in college football, and we've seen it. But if Notre Dame goes in there with that Dan Campbell thing, we're going to knock you down. We're going to bite your kneecaps. We're going to do all that stuff. And you heard Marcus Freeman talking about, he called these guys, and with a big smile on his face, savages.
Yeah.
That's how he described these dudes. So I wouldn't call it an upset.
Oh,
but
no.
But I absolutely believe they have a chance. And not even just a puncher's chance. If they stay the course and they do, you know, everybody should be looking at that game that they played against Michigan. What did they do? How did you frustrate them the way you did? Because that's going to be part of it too. I don't know that you can outpower them, but you can frustrate them to the point where you get them out of their game. Anyway, this I'm looking forward to this one on the 20th. And by the way, we should tell people that we're on that morning.
We are.
You said that like you just.
We are.
I just enlightened you to that. Yeah.
No, we are. We are. We will be. We will be in it, and it should be a good time. And we'll try to get some talk with some people who are in town for the big game as well. We look forward to that a week from tomorrow. What a week this is going to be leading up to the championship game. Now, meanwhile, in Athens, we had a quarterback to hit the transfer portal. Somebody that we thought might go to the NFL.
Nah.
Instead, Carson Beck is going to Miami.
He's going to hang out with his girlfriend.
You know, will this help him or not?
I don't think I don't know him. I don't even know the makeup of the person. It's not fair for me to say I don't think he cares, but he's going to a comfortable location. He's had his chance to win a national championship, or the best chance, I believe.
You know what'll happen to him, man? It didn't happen to him at Georgia. He's going to lose to Georgia Tech. That's what's going to happen to him that didn't happen to him at Georgia. He's going to go to Miami, and he's going to find out what it's like to lose to Georgia Tech, because that'll happen next season. Tech beat him this year.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, and then by extension, not so much the ACC, but how do you describe the state of the SEC right now?
Oh, that's
not the ACC, the SEC.
The SEC is fine. I mean, and that's just it. I've been reading stuff and hearing the national people, oh, the SEC is dead. Man, shove it. You know, SEC is not SEC is not dead. You know what I mean? We got some team, but I mean, it's what you want to see in college football. Not the same folks all the time, and that's all we're getting. It don't mean next year the SEC teams won't be back with a vengeance. So I mean, these people are killing me with this. Oh, the SEC is dead. The SEC is not dead.
Well, let me ask you: isn't this what everybody wanted the SEC? Because hang on a second. It was top heavy before, right? It was top heavy. You had Georgia, you had Alabama, and everybody else for the last X amount of years.
SEC from top to bottom is still the strongest league.
I'm not arguing
The teams at the bottom. Are you kidding me? Folks like Purdue. Are you kidding me? You know, who is Purdue going to beat in the SEC?
Oh no, we're not comparing them. It is more spread out. You don't know going into next season who the national championship or who the conference champion is going to be. You knew that for the last, I don't know how many years you want to go back, decade or so. You know, it was going to be Nick Saban. He's going to be there. Kirby's going to be there. And that was it. And you knew it. It's like you going back, you know, saying what you said about when Golden State was making a run in the NBA. Now you have parity in a way that, let's see what happens here. But I agree with you. It's not dead.
No.
And I don't see the Big Ten coming back up. But when you snarl at Purdue and you snarl at some of those other teams, who thought Indiana was going to be there last year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or this season. Indiana. And then you got these two teams from out west that are going to be a part of this now. And I mean,
Is UCLA going to be a part of it, really?
No, but Oregon.
They've forgotten how to. I'm thinking about the L.A. market teams. I mean.
Well, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? But they want the TV market and they got them. But you know, we'll see. But next season, another year, you know, the 12 teams was the right thing to do. I don't know if we go for more, but the 12 teams to me was the right idea.
Australian Open is getting started down in Melbourne. We're going to hear from Kara Pestana. Hear what's going on in Noel's head. Noel's World is going to also come up in the 7 o'clock hour, but as always, we start things off letting you know what's going on locally. Mr. Crenshaw will tell us that. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.